Christians Believe In, with a new series exploring the Apostles' Creed. And last week, God was speaking to us as we talked about our faith and we talked about believing, and we dug a few layers deeper, and we saw that believing in the God of the Scriptures means that we believe that the Bible and the God of the Bible not only exists, but He offers full salvation, doesn't He? He offers eternal life, and that eternal life is the absolute truth for everyone. How many believe that? Yes. Yeah. And we believe that the Christian faith is believing in and connecting to the person of God. That Christianity is not just a principle. It's not just a concept. Christianity is not just a theory. We believe with our heads and we believe with our hearts. And so it's a personal connection with God, the Christian faith. And Christian faith means that choosing to trust in God means that we choose to trust Him even when you're badly disappointed. You trust God. Even when things don't work out the way that you hoped, you still trust in God. How many have had things that didn't turn out the way that you hoped? But we still trust in God. That God is a God who favors, and God is a God who loves and cares for us. And then finally we said that believing means taking two steps forward, right? We take two steps forward, we make a clean break with our old life, and we commit to living God's way that's found in the Scriptures. And so it's a full commitment. It's no turning back, right? It's the old campfire song, you know, I've decided to follow Jesus. How many remember that song? No turning back, no turning back. And some of you don't remember that, but some, if you're over the age of 50, probably remember that song. Yeah. And so it's two steps forward, full commitment. That's what it means to believe in the Lord God. And so today we want to continue to cement what we believe in as followers of Jesus. So let's pray before we tackle some more. Lord, we believe in You. We believe You're here. We believe that You're present. We believe that You want to speak to us. We believe that You want to work and do some things in our lives. We believe, Lord, that we have great need of You. And we embrace all that You have for us today and say that You're so good to us. And Your Holy Spirit is present. And so, Spirit of God, come and do something unusual today. Do something personal today. Do something extraordinary, supernatural today. I believe that You already have. You've already been touching people through worship. And so continue to do that supernatural work by the Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Happy birthday. Well, I want us to join together to recite the first part of the creed, and you'll see it up here on the screen. Let's just say this together as we begin our time. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Let's just say that again. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And I want you to know that in this one statement, can be found two things that Christians have believed for almost 2,000 years. Two things that Christians have believed. That God is infinitely powerful and God is intensely personal. God is infinitely powerful and intensely personal. Now, this is something that you and I as Christians strongly believe. Or if we don't, we should, hopefully at the end of our time, we will come to that place, God will lead us to that place where we believe that our God is infinitely powerful and intensely personal. He is not just strong. He is not just mighty. He is almighty. And he is all-powerful. How many believe that? Yeah. And see, that's what makes God the true God, is his almightiness. Anything less than all-powerful, right? Anything less than almighty, and he's not God. God is all-powerful. God is almighty. And I want you to pause for just a second. We'll just take a little sidestep for just a minute. There's this strangeness about the almightiness of God, isn't there? There's something that seems just a little bit off kilter, but it's still, nonetheless, it's true. That God reveals his almighty nature and his all-powerful nature by becoming weak. The same God who rules on high, the same God who created the great expanse of the heavens and the earth, stoops down to interact with weak and sinful people like you and me. He becomes weak. Almighty God becomes weak. Doesn't take away from his nature. Doesn't take away from his power. Doesn't take away from his almightiness. But he stoops down and he interacts with weak and frail and broken and sinful humanity like you and me. Isn't that amazing? But not only that, he became one of us. Almighty God, think about this, becomes one of us. Suffers, dies for us in the person of Jesus. Now that's kind of a strange sort of almightiness, isn't it? God becomes weak. Almighty God becomes weak. That we might become strong and we might receive eternal life. It's unbelievable. But let's just get back to the creed. It starts out with this again. We saw it. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Now, if you were to ask anybody on the street if they believe in God, they might respond with the question, well, do you mean a God who created everything, right? They might ask that question. And the Christian says, yes, we believe that the God of the Bible is the creator. The creator. He is the creator of the universe with all of its galaxies and the trillions of stars and planets. And he created the earth and he created time and he created space and he created the seasons and he created you. If you want to just think about, you want to dwell on and you want to think about the concept of creation, I want you to think about this. Some people will really relate to this when I say this. Think about another human formed, growing, living inside another human. Think about that. Think about that another little person lives and grows and is nurtured inside of another human being. Now, and some people might say, oh, it's just chromosomes, right? 23 pairs and 20, you know, it's got together and it's just DNA. It's just biology. But I'll tell you what, it's anything but simple, right? Anything but simple. It's complex. It's wonderful. It's miraculous. It's God. The scripture says God knit us together in our mother's womb, right? God did that. God put us together in our mother's womb. And so God is infinitely powerful. Just say it. Just say it with me. God, infinitely powerful. The next time you'll say it later, say it and mean it, okay? The Bible begins with a powerful statement. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. When you think about that, that's an outrageous statement, isn't it? God creates everything. Then isn't that outrageous to you? God creates everything. And there's a difference between making something and creating something, isn't there? Creatures make things. You make things. I know Jake Smith, he makes a lot of things with wood. You might make a lot of things. You might be in a profession where you make things. But only the Creator creates things. He creates. And so we should stand in awe of this mystery of creating. I want you to listen for just a moment to what the writers of the Bible say about God's infinite power. God said this to Job at the end of a very long and very detailed book, all right? A lot of conversations going on in Job, but God has the last word in the conversation, and God says this to Job. He says, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know, right? Who stretched the measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors and when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed the limits for it and I set its doors and bars in place? And I said to the seas, 'This is how far you come and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place?'" He says to Job. The psalmist says in Psalm 33, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the water of the seas into jars and he puts them into storehouses." He puts the deep of the waters into storehouses. "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere the Lord. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples," the scripture says. And then Nehemiah chapter 9, Nehemiah, the prophet Nehemiah, he says, "You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry host, and the earth, and all that's in it, and the seas, and all that's in them. And you give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you." Genesis 1, God says, let there be, what? Light. And so there was. So there was. And so we see God, he creates merely by speaking. God in his almightiness creates with his sheer word. Now, can you do that? I can't do that. It would be nice, wouldn't it? I think. Right? Let there be prime rib. Let there be leather recliners for all the men here. Wouldn't be that? Let there be $500 Visa cards for all the women. I didn't leave you out. I wasn't leaving you out. All right? Let all these seats be filled with people. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if we could create with our words, if we just speak and something would come into existence? God still speaks. God speaks. And God still speaks. God called Abraham by speaking. He spoke to Abraham. God delivered the law to Moses by speaking to him. God judged his people through the prophets by speaking. Right? God spoke through Jesus, his son, didn't he? In fact, Hebrews tells us in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, in these days, in our days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. Which is a really great reference to the Trinity, the God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit being so involved in every detail of the creation that Jesus was there creating even before he became a man. And so, God has a history of speaking and a history of creating by speaking, doesn't he? And he has a history of speaking to and with his people. Have you heard him? How many have heard God speak to you? That's good. It's good news that God speaks. Because you know what that means? God wants to speak to you. How many believe that? God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak some things in your life. God wants to create some things in your life. He wants to create some security in your life so you no longer have to walk around in fear. So many people do. God wants to create healing instead of being worn down with sickness and pain. God wants to speak and create. God wants to create some peace in your life so you don't have to be weighed down by anxiety and weighed down by worry. God wants to, maybe he wants to create some joy in your life. How many, you could use a little joy, right? It's like, lighten up. We need joy. God wants to create some joy in our lives when there's where there's only been despair and there's only been depression and there's only been just downtroddenness. Maybe even anger, right? He wants to create joy. And so I want you to remember that word this morning, that God creates by speaking. And God speaks by and then creates. Because we're going to have an opportunity, you're going to have an opportunity to respond, to just allow God to create some good things in your life. What is it that you really need God to create in your life? What is it that you're really desiring for him to do in your life? Because he wants to do it. Amen? And so be thinking about that. But for sure, we need to stand in awe of God's infinite and creative power, don't we? The prophet Isaiah says, the Lord Almighty is the one that you are to regard as holy. He is the one that you are to fear. He is the one that you are to dread, it says. And I was thinking about this verse, and I think that this is really important to understand. What we believe about God will determine the kind of worship that we offer him. What we believe about God will determine the intensity and the energy and even the focus or even the amount of time that we give to worshiping him. And for too long that Christians have looked at God as their buddy. Right? Just their friend, just their buddy. And God is much more than that. God is someone to be in awe of. Someone to be just reverential and just be awestruck by who he is and what he's done and what he is capable of doing. And I think we need to stand in awe. Because that's what all throughout scriptures, to worship God meant to be in awe of God. If you look in the scriptures, God shows up, hit the deck, right? I mean, they're hitting the deck, right? And their heads are low, hands are up, You know, and it's God is in the room. And there was this holy, reverent fear in the hearts of his followers because of the truth that the scripture declares and really that the creed declares that God, let's say it, is infinitely powerful. God is infinitely powerful. And we believe that. We believe that. But that's not all he is. He is infinitely powerful. But that's not all we believe, is it? We believe that God is intensely personal. God is intensely personal. I believe in God the Father, the Father. Do you hear that? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Our infinitely powerful God is intensely personal with you and me. You see, Christianity is not deism. You know, a deism is this idea that an all-powerful, infinite God created and started the engine and then walked away and let it just run by itself. That's deism. A deist God is a God who really doesn't care what's going on in the earth. Their God just started it. The rest is up to us. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. That's the deist. That's what a deist believes. That's deism. That's not Christianity. That's not Christianity. Jesus revealed God as an intensely personal Father. Jesus says this. He said, I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Tough one to swallow. And this is what he said, that you may be sons, or we could say daughters, of your Father in heaven. He says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your buddy, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Jesus says this. He says to the disciples, he said, this then is how you should pray. You remember this? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, what's interesting is this, is that during Jesus' ministry, the people in Rome considered Zeus to be their father. And if you remember your Greek mythology, I think I slept through a lot of that, but if you remember your Greek mythology, Zeus is the kind of dad you don't want to play with, right? Zeus was viewed as a god who was always waiting for you to screw up. He was portrayed as with a lightning bolt in his hand. What does that tell you? You know? Yeah. You messed up. Done. Right? Vaporized. That was Zeus. And those who worshiped Zeus thought him to be stern. They thought him to be heartless. And as a divine father, at least they thought he was a divine father, they believed Zeus was that way. And so they were terrified of him. In fact, the Roman emperor was often considered to be a type of deity as well. And often they would call the Roman emperor father. He would be titled father, father of Rome. Okay? And we know the track record of Roman emperors. Let's just say they weren't very nice, right? You don't cross the Roman emperor, you cross the emperor, you know, you were a lamppost in his gardens, you know, crucified, and they'd light you up. And you gave off light to the gardens. Can't imagine, but that's the way it was. And so we have this thing going on in Jesus' day, and Jesus comes along, and he begins to talk about God the Father, and he says this, when you pray, to your Heavenly Father. He says, pray this way, our Father who in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. And so Jesus is describing this infinitely powerful God as Abba, the Bible says. And Abba was this common term of tender endearment by a child to their father. Jesus was actually inviting you and me to address God as Daddy, Papa. And, you know, Jesus said, you know, there is a tenderness to our God that is personal, intensely personal. And you think about scriptures that says that, you know, we were adopted as God's child. John said that how great is the love of the Father that has lavished on us, that we should be called what? The children of God. And that's what we are. We are children, we're adopted children of God. We were once not a people. We were once without a father. We were lost, you know, alone in this world, and God came and He adopted us and into His family, and now we're sons and daughters of God. That's cause for worship, isn't it? And then Paul, you know, he says, because you are sons, God sends His Spirit of His Son into our hearts, that the Spirit calls out within our hearts, what? Abba, Father. And so He puts this Spirit in us that makes us want to connect with this personal God called Father. And so Jesus, you know, He's saying, since God is intensely personal, you know, He's going to give you what you need. Daily bread, right? He's going to give us daily bread. He's going to take care of us. I think sometimes we have a lot of fear. We don't really believe that. We have difficulties believing that God will take care of us. And, you know, as a side note, really this prayer of Jesus is similar to a prayer in Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30, it says that two things I ask of the Lord, do not refuse me this before I die. He says this, keep falsehood and lies from me, and give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only what? Give me only my daily bread. Sound familiar? Otherwise, I might have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and dishonor the name of God. And, you know, this daily prayer, this daily bread prayer, it runs counter, really counter to the prosperity prayers that we hear a lot, maybe that we even pray a lot sometimes. You know, Lord, bless me abundantly beyond measure. Give me a hundredfold increase on my income. Well, what if that really happened and you just ditched God and you just said, okay, I'm good. I have everything I need and I really don't need God. And really, I kind of think I made all this stuff around me. I did all this, and it was me who created all this wealth. Right? And so, you know, this humble prayer that Jesus invites us to pray, give me what I need, because if you give me more than what I need, I might believe that really that I just don't need you, God. And so I love it. This whole unity of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it's pretty amazing, isn't it, how it just all weaves together, the God's, you know, message, you know, the kingdom, and it weaves together, and give me daily bread, Old Testament, give me daily bread, New Testament, just give me what I need, not what I want, because what I want may not be what I need, right? Just give me what I need. And then Jesus, as He's talking about this personal Father, He says, pray to Him, lead us not into temptation, right? Now, you might remember 1 Corinthians, a very common verse, we use it a lot. It says, it goes like this, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man, right? So everybody gets tempted, all right? It's not, temptation is not unique. I'm not going to ask you because I know you get tempted. Everybody gets tempted in different ways. But he said, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And so there's a way of escape that God... Think about this. Instead of God letting you walk headlong into sin and then God getting angry at you like Zeus, right? Jesus says, our Abba Father knows all about our sin nature, and he knows all about our temptations that we struggle with. And the Bible promises that our loving, infinitely powerful God has given us a way out. So I love it because he provides for us physically and he provides for us spiritually. He gives us the Holy Spirit to convict us. You ever been convicted? He gives us the Holy Spirit to convict us and to warn us of spiritual danger. He gives the Spirit to say, don't do that. Because if you go down that road, you might go down too far. And you might not come back. Right? He gives us the grace to resist. And the ability to say no by the power of God. We aren't bound to go down any destructive path as followers of Jesus. We don't have to go down the path. God, our Father, always gives us another way. You know what the way is? It's his way. It's narrow. It's not wide. It's his way. He says, if you go down this way, just go right down this little squeeze by, right? Like being in a cave sometimes. Yeah. And so he gives us another way. That's how personal he is. Aren't you glad? How many of you know that God saved you? I mean really saved you for something really, really destructive in your life. That you could have went down that road. And it would have been an awful trip for you. Yeah. That's the intensely personal God that we have. Now, but don't believe the notion that God will never judge, that God will never discipline you. We hear this a lot. There's some who say, well, God would never judge. God's only a God of love, right? We hear this so many times. I just don't think God would do this. I just can't believe that God would allow this. We hear this a lot. If we're honest, we've probably said it, right? Well, it might be shocking for you to hear this, but where there is love, there's also wrath, right? And there's an easy way to test this statement. Try to harm one of my kids. Try to harm my wife. Try to come on to my wife. Right? We may not have a dark soul. We may not have fantasies about murdering anyone. But we will bloody the person with our fists or any weapon we can find. Because you're attacking my kids. My spouse. Don't tell me you don't feel that way. I know you feel that way, right? Why? Why? Because we're looking for a fight? No. Because we're crazy about our wives. We're crazy about our kids, right? And if you try to harm them, we will gladly lose our jobs to crush your face. I know I would have a new ministry, prison ministry. You wouldn't see me here. I wouldn't be preaching in prison. Because love exists, wrath is possible. Because love exists, judgment is possible. Does that make sense? How many are familiar with this verse? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. How many have heard that verse? Do you know what comes before it? Revelation 3, verse 19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. We like the second verse. We like 3:20. We don't so much like 3:19, do we? Those whom I love, I rebuke. Right. So, God loves you so much that He will expose, he loves us so much that He would expose our secret sin, the sin that infects our souls, the sin that breaks us, and the sin that grieves the heart of the Father. He loves us so much that He's going to expose all that. How many of you remember back in July of 2015, there was this commercial website called Ashley Madison? Remember Ashley Madison? It enabled adults to have extramarital affairs. It was a website, you know. It was devoted to adultery. In fact, the tagline of the website was, life is short, have an affair. Ashley Madison. Yeah, so all was going well with this website. There's just, you know, hundreds and thousands of people, you know, getting on this website and hooking up and having affairs. And until a group called itself the Impact Team hacked the website, copied personal information from all its user base, and in the end, the names and the home addresses and the credit card transactions records were leaked and became public. Among the many who were publicly outed were 400 pastors on that site, of Ashley Madison. Yeah. And so all over the United States today, there are men resigning, you know, from positions and because their sins were found out and probably are no longer in ministry as a result of being outed by this particular group because it went public, right? Now, could it be that God lovingly outed His sons and daughters who had given themselves over to sin? Could it be that He allowed them to be exposed to shame so they would repent, so they would confess, so they would be forgiven, and they could be possibly restored? Hebrews says this, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined, then you're illegitimate children, not true sons. Moreover, we have had human fathers who disciplined us. We respected them for that. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? God is intensely personal. And God is infinitely powerful. Amen? And we believe that. We believe that. Now, let me just finish with this. When it comes to God being our Father, the single greatest hurdle that we have to overcome and really connect with God, the Father, is our own dads. That's the single greatest hurdle we have to overcome. For some of you, your fathers were deplorable men who did dark and unthinkable things. And as a result, there's this festering wound in your soul, and you're still wrestling with that even today as an adult, years and years later. Some of you just had regular dads, just earthly dads. They did the best they could, but they weren't God, right? And they failed you at some points. They failed you, and they gave you some of their issues. Right? And so because of that, it might be difficult for you to see, well, it might be easy for you to see God as infinitely powerful. But I mean, you might really, really struggle with seeing God as a really good father. But I just want to tell you this Psalm 149. For the Lord takes delight in his people, and he crowns the humble with salvation. Do you know what that means? God is crazy about you. God is just crazy about you. And so I want you to think about, do you believe that he's good? Do you believe God is for you and not against you, regardless of life's circumstances? Do you believe there's nothing outside the scope of his power? Do you believe that God, out of his love, can create some powerful changes in your life? I say that we do this. I say we join the company of Christians spanning 2,000 years of history, and we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We share a Father who is infinitely powerful and intensely personal. That's the God we worship. That's who we love. That's who we serve. That's who we follow. That's who we've given our lives over to. Amen. Let's pray. I just invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and minister to your people and just move among us. I want you to create, God, we want you to create so many good things in people's lives today. Create them in our hearts. Begin to speak into people's hearts right now. Just quiet our hearts before you, asking God that you would come and speak to us. Just as you're sitting there, there's a psalm in 138 that says, though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud. In fact, one translation says that he knows the proud from afar. And the biggest obstacle we face during moments like these of ministry is that we're just proud. We're worried about how we're going to be perceived by others if we respond. And pride is the thing that keeps God at a distance. Pride, that's it. It's pride keeps God at a distance. And so God wants to show up in your life. He wants to speak to you. He wants to create some stuff, good stuff in you. Peace, joy, faith, maybe just the assurance that he does love you. What is it he's speaking to you? What is it that you want to embrace? What is it that you want to see created in your life? God create some peace. If that's you, I'm gonna invite you to just step forward. Just come to the front. I need God to create some stuff in my life. I need him to come personal, to come close to me and really create some stuff, to do some powerful things. So I just invite you right now just to come. That freaks you out, you just step out in the aisle. If you just want to step out in the aisle and just say, I need God to come. Create some things. I'm afraid. I need confidence. I live in fear. And I need him to give me confidence. Whatever it is. Just some of you that have been trained, know how to pray, just come and begin to pray for those up front. We need some prayer people. God is infinitely powerful and intensely personal. We believe it. That's what we believe that here at the Vineyard. We sincerely believe, we embrace that. God wants to come in power. He wants to come and draw up close to us. Break off all that stuff in our lives. He wants to come and do some things. And so come and just invite God to do something. Invite God to create something in your life. Just by you just stepping forward and say, God, I need you to create. I need you to speak into my life. I need this in my life. Yes, Lord. Yeah, so we're going to continue to pray up here. I know we're running a little late. We've got communion and all. And so, but I want to just leave you with this as you go this morning. I want you to remember that those two phrases. They're not empty phrases. God is infinitely powerful. He has the ability to do way more than you think or imagine in your life. And God is intensely personal. He cares for you. He cares about what's going on in your life. And so I want you to go with those two things, right? Just like ringing in your ears. Just let them ring in your ears. You're almighty and you're ever personal to me. Amen? Go. Go be blessed.